Blog Talk Radio.
Strap on your seatbelt and prepare for takeoff. You're about to go on a journey. It's First Contact Radio with Joshua Poet.
All right, Dirk, thank you so much. This is Josh Poet. Welcome, everybody, to First Contact Radio. It is Friday, the 6th of September, 2019. End of the first week, technically. Tomorrow, I guess Saturday is the end of the week. So, but we're at that end time of this first week period. We just went past Labor Day, and we're cruising on into the fall. So today, what we've been hearing about is the landing of the Chandrayaan-2 lunar surface. So India is going to land on the moon today. There's a link here so you can check that out. I did watch, and I really got to see some interesting things. There's a really interesting 2D graphic of what's supposed to be, I guess, the lander, and it's going to land. And then there's another one of another 2D picture of a lander that is getting ready to land with this great little graphics of the green, some sort of lines, I guess, of, thrust. And you see it over a nice, another graphic of what is supposed to be the moon's surface. At no point in time did I see anything that looked like it was a live shot. It was great animation, whatever it is, but I don't recall seeing anything. One thing that did stand out, though, is the stars. The stars, and I thought to myself, the stars was a question that was asked with the NASA landing, and they said you can't see any stars because of the light apertures, how they were set. I guess they figured out how to set the light apertures differently because there were stars in the images they were showing of this one. So kudos for them for figuring that out. But again, just like with NASA and the first cameraman getting up there to, take a picture of Neil Armstrong taking that first step, there seemed to be a similar situation here because during the time when they were showing that animated graphic, something was filming it. So there was obviously another camera that was up there, unexplained, of course, because we're not supposed to know these things. We're not supposed to know these things. We're just supposed to go along with, yes, yes, we can go to the moon. Yes, yes, we can do this all because you said we could. And, anyway, I have my issues with the moon landing. I did write the song, We Never Went to the Moon. We made the video. John Lee made the video. It went out there. And I have lots of issues with the moon landing, as others do. And I'm sure that when we dig into this moon landing of this rocket from India, I'm sure that we'll have similar questions as well. Always do. All right, let's jump into a story I think that is really important for us to understand. It says a successful artificial memory has been created. Growing science of memory manipulation raises social and ethical questions. Okay, artificial memory, that's the important part I would like you to remember and think about as I'm going over this. Says, we learn from our personal interaction with the world and our memories of those experiences help guide our behaviors. Experience and memory are inexorably linked, or at least they seem to be before a recent report on the formation of completely artificial memories. Using laboratory animals, investigators reverse engineered a specific memory, natural memory, by mapping the brain circuits underlying its formation. Then they trained another animal by stimulating brain cells in the pattern of the natural memory. Doing so created an artificial memory that was retained and recalled in a manner indistinguishable from the natural one. Now, there is a link in here to a report. I'm going to jump over to that. The report says memory formation in the absence of experience. Memory is coded by patterns of neural activity in distinct circuits. Therefore, it should be possible to reverse engineer a memory by artificially creating these patterns of activity in the absence of sensory experience. In olfactory conditioning and odor conditioned stimulus is paired with an unconditioned stimulus, for example, and the resulting association of the conditioned stimulus with the unconditioned stimulus association guides future behavior. Here we replace the odor, CS, with the optogenic stimulation of a specific olfactory glomerulus, and the US with optogenic stimulation of distinct inputs into the ventral tegmental area that mediate either aversion or reward. In doing so, we created a fully artificial memory in mice. Similar to a natural memory, this artificial memory depended on the CS US contingency during training, and the condition response was specific to the CS and reflected the US valence. Moreover, both real and implanted memories engage in overlapping brain circuits and depended on basolateral amygdala activity for the expression. All right, there's a lot more to the article, but I think you get the idea. An artificial memory. So they want you to take, and they have taken, and they've created a memory that is not based on an experience. That's where we get it from. We go out, we do things in the world. We have an experience, and from that experience comes a remember. We remember what happened. However, what they're talking about here is remembering something that didn't happen, but thinking that it did happen. Okay? Artificial memories, and they say that they're doing them with animals here. If this article is coming out talking about what they're doing with animals, you can bet that they've already been experimenting on human beings, and I can surmise that we can trace back this study to the DARPA program, the brain mapping program. We can connect this with Google. We can connect it with Facebook. We can connect it with the various modalities that are being used by the social networks to condition people. And we could see that memories are being put into the world that are not based on anything other than the agenda-driven person behind them. If you think about this for a moment, you should be able to understand the danger that this poses, because once you can implant an artificial memory, well, who's to say and who's to stop others from wanting to plant a memory in order to get somebody in trouble? You know, what was the movie Minority Report, where they had the precognition? So you place an artificial memory someplace, and now you're able to go after somebody based on a memory that isn't real. We're getting into some tricky, slippery slopes here, my friends. We need to really be aware of it. The thing that is at the most attack is the mind. The mind is at the attack, is being attacked, and each and every individual has to take care of their minds first and foremost. Otherwise, you're just going to be a victim to the mental control that is being put upon you. We see it every day in the world. It's happening. Think of the word program. The word program, we think of it as something that we watch on the television. But if we take it out of the realm of TV and we think of a program, we think of something like a computer program or a learning program. Usually a program is something that is scripted out. A television program is scripted out. These programs that are scripted are done so with a particular purpose in mind. You can call it an agenda if you'd like. There's a particular purpose. When you write a script or a screenplay for a movie or a television show or a play, you are scripting something out with an agenda that you would like to get across through your particular project. If you're writing a computer program, you are writing a program in order to achieve a particular goal or task. So this programming that goes on is being done to program the human mind. You couple that with the last article that I just went over, artificial memories, and now we've got situations that really show you the programming machine that is in effect. How many people are out there spouting things that they see on TV and movies as if they're real? As if these are real events that happen, but they're not. But they're being talked about as if they are by some individuals. Look at the case in point of what was it, the big one, the show that everybody watches, like the Dungeons and Dragons type show? don't even remember the name of it. Game of Thrones. So we got this, and remember how everybody, there was all the uproar by all the people because of how the show ended, what was going on with it. And you think, how could so many people get so caught up that they actually believe things to the level that they did, and then were so upset because things didn't go the way they thought they were? Okay, when you start implanting memories, when you start thinking the things that are artificial are actually real, now you start finding yourself in a situation where there could be some problems. And in this day and age, if we don't understand the difference between what's real and what isn't, well, then we understand and should see that there are much bigger problems for us to deal with. Next, George Soros is lobbying lawmakers to take your guns away, as if that's any surprise. There's no other way to say it. Politicians and the elitists are coming for your guns. If they can get away with them, if they can get them from you and convince you to turn them over willingly, they will do so with propaganda. Don't expect it to end there. Isn't it ironic that in order to take away guns from nonviolent people, violent people must use guns to do so? It's hard to believe this escapes the minds of far too many people on this earth. Soros and the people in the ruling class certainly want all the control in every situation, and it's much easier to enslave an unarmed populace. This is nothing less than an attempt at complete domination over everyone that they think is beneath them. According to a report by the Free Beacon, liberal billionaire George Soros' advocacy organizations are lobbying lawmakers in Capitol Hill to repeal an act protecting firearm manufacturers from liability from gun crime in murder disclosure form show. Open Society Policy Center is Soros' D.C.-based 501c4 nonprofit that works on domestic and international advocacy and is affiliated with the much larger Open Society Foundations. The center has poured nearly $9 million into lobbying a range of issues so far this year. Soros' group moved into gun control advocacy and reported lobbying on issues related to a bill to repeal the Protection of Lawful Commerce in Arms Act. The Protection of Lawful Commerce in Arms Act, otherwise known as the PLCAA, was passed as a bulwark against frivolous lawsuits attempting to hold gun companies responsible for criminal acts committed by third parties, sometimes decades after the first legal sale of the firearm. The National Shooting Sports Foundation, the gun industry's trade group, pushed this bill in 2005. The group said the legal protections are necessary to keep gun control activists from bankrupting the industry through suits they believe have no legal standing. Bankrupting the firearms industry with frivolous lawsuits is only one way tyrants are attempting to disarm people. U.S. is seeking to instate a social credit score, much like China's communist China. It could very well be used to deny self-defense rights to people. If you disagree with the political establishment, you won't be allowed to own a gun. That's a slippery slope if there ever was one. So we're not surprised that George Soros is involved with such activities. What is surprising is so many Americans are so ill-informed about the gun control issue. You have liberal Hollywood saying, take the guns away, take the guns away. Well, they continue to make movies that have guns in them. They continue to make movies that not only have guns in them, but glorify the bad guys, that glorify the gun violence. However, if anyone would dare point their finger at Hollywood and saying, you know what, perhaps some of those ideas are affecting weak-minded people to go do bad things, liberal Hollywood would be the first one to say, oh, no, we don't see that connection at all. Well, that's because liberal Hollywood has their collective head up their collective ass, and they couldn't see, you know, the truth if it hit them between the two eyes, which oftentimes it does. But you know what? Screenwriters in Hollywood, they know the truth. They write scripts, and in their scripts, they know that bad guys don't turn in their guns. You don't see Hollywood making movies where bad guys are giving their guns up. Nope, because they know it doesn't happen. So they'll put it into their script, but they think that in real life, things are different. In real life, the bad guys always do the things that they're supposed to do. And that's not the case. That's why they're called the bad guys. We hear the ideas of socialism being thrown around and communism. And with those comes the ideas of gun control. Well, the reason these things happen is very, very simple. Because the people that want power in a socialist society are the people at the top. In a communist society, the people at the top. And the only way that they can control the people is if they have more power over those people. And one of the ways to gain that power is to make sure that you are the only one that have the means of doing something like using a gun. So you take them away from the population in order to make sure that you are able to control them. And in every one of these societies, whether it be a socialist society or a communist society, it eventually evolves to the point of a dictatorship, where one person wants to have all of the power. And once it gets to be a dictatorship, and they've taken the guns away, the next step is always the same, to exterminate the people that you took the guns away from, which is why you wanted to take the guns away in the first place. Again, Hollywood screenwriters know this because they write these kind of things in their screenplays, but for some reason they think that these things don't happen in real life. We have to stop listening to what liberal Hollywood has to say, because they are not the arbiters of truth. They're only doing things for money. They're writing stories to appease their masters, whoever they might be, whether it's at one of the agencies or the production companies or even the political organizations that are pumping money into Hollywood to follow an agenda. So we have to stop listening to their examples, because they're just brain-dead puppets who are spouting out the things that they've been told to say. That's it. Brain-dead puppets who are just spouting out the things that they're told to say. And like good puppets, they go out and say them, because they are all afraid if they don't say these things, they're not going to work. So the ones who are the puppets saying the things, they're just low puppets on the scale, because the puppet masters above them are the ones who are really dictating what goes on. And when you start to follow the money, you start to find that the money trail leads to political organizations that want to make sure that people are indoctrinated through a system of entertainment. And so that's exactly what they do. And they've been doing it over and over and over and over again. I don't know how many times I could repeat the story about Operation Mockingbird and the ability to control the media, or the fact that our media system of Operation Mockingbird is utilizing the ideas of Joseph Goebbels, the propaganda ideas of putting in these propaganda ideas into the music, into the literature, into the movies and programs people watch. It's all right there. The people sit in front of a television set or a screen or listen to music, and their mind is put in a state where they are taking in this information without really being aware of everything they're taking in. It's too much. Flip on a news channel and you've got sounds, you've got blinking lights, you've got a scroll going across one way, you've got something happening here, continual movement that you're not going to be able to pick up consciously. But your unconscious certainly picked that up, and it gets into your mind. It gets into a place where the possibility of an artificial memory could then be created. All of this ties in, because the technology is designed to go to affect the weakest muscle in the human body. I know it's not a muscle, but I'm just kind of saying. The weakest thing in the body is the brain, because it's the thing that controls everything, but is the most susceptible to the manipulation by those who understand how to do it. And rest assured, there are those who have spent plenty of time studying how to manipulate the brain, the mind. The last administration did a whole lot of that kind of work. The Brain Initiative was put on by Obama. The connecting it with DARPA, the defense industry, was under Obama. All of these things have been continually pushed. The hope is that the current president is ending all of those things, but he's having a fight against those who are trying to make sure that their programming stays in place. And once you get the programming in place and get the people to believe whatever you tell them, then you could lie to their faces and they won't know the difference. Because as far as they're concerned, that lie is actually the truth. Remember the Kavanaugh case? Well, now there's information coming to light that anybody paying attention knew back then. Lacey Ford's lawyer admits client wants asterisk next to Kavanaugh's name when he rules on Roe versus Wade. Deborah Katz, the attorney for Christine Blasey Ford, who leveled sexual assault allegations against then Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh, admitted during an April speech that her client's decision to come forward was partially motivated by a desire to put an asterisk next to Kavanaugh's name before he takes a scalpel to Roe versus Wade. The video, which was obtained by the Daily Caller, shows Katz discussing the positive implications of Blasey Ford's testimony before the University of Baltimore's Feminist Legal Theory Conference in April. In the aftermath of these hearings, I believe that Christine's testimony brought about more good than harm. Misogynist Republicans caused by allowing Kavanaugh in the court. Katz says in the video, he will always have an asterisk next to his name. When he takes the scalpel to Roe versus Wade, we will know who he is, and we know his character, and we know what motivates him, and that is important. It is important that we know, and it is part of what motivated Christine. Boom. Political hit job was done, admitted by them. You know, if you go and you find out the information, dig into the Roe versus Wade, you find out that the woman lied, that what she claimed happened to her didn't happen to her. It was made up. Check into it. Don't take my word for it. Please don't take my word for it, but go look it up yourself. Part of the process of what we need to be doing, to looking things up so we can share, so we can know. We can't rely on one person to have all the information. It's too much responsibility. We have to be able to share it. There's a phrase out there. Bad things happen when good people say and do nothing. And right now, there's a lot of good people saying and doing nothing, and bad things are happening. Okay? Bad things are happening. Remember that Kavanaugh hearing? Remember seeing Kavanaugh's wife crying? Remember the effect it had on his kids? And to know that was nothing more than a political hit job? That woman, Blasey Ford, she raised thousands and thousands of dollars through GoFundMe. These are deceptive, evil people who do things like that. There's no other way around it. All right, this is a story I talked about the other day on Wednesday. It's a sealed Jeffrey Epstein court documents name at least 1,000 people. A judge must decide whether to release them. The names of 1,000 people appear in sealed court documents associated with Jeffrey Epstein. A court heard on Wednesday. Whether to make them public is the latest skirmish in years-long battle that continues to play out even after Epstein's death. The revelation came after attorneys for a John Doe asked a federal judge in New York not to release the names of the people who were not directly involved with the 2015 defamation lawsuit filed by Epstein accuser Virginia Roberts Guffrey against Epstein's longtime confidant Ghislaine Maxwell. The case was settled in 2017, but the details are only now just emerging. So we'll see what goes on. But again, they're fighting tooth and nail to keep this information from making its way to the public. 1,000 names is a lot of names, isn't it? And remind you that this wasn't just a guy who was doing things with women of age. This had to do with people that weren't of age. And in some cases, small children. So there's 1,000 names in a sealed document that were allegedly involved with doing things to small kids. Not right. Not right at all. Those names should be unsealed. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And finally, a little bit of good news on the front. A lawyer for 8chan says the site could be back online as soon as next week. A lawyer representing Jim Watkins, the owner of the image posting forum website 8chan, tells Mother Jones that the site could be back online as soon as next week. 8chan went dark in the wake of a mass shooting in El Paso last month that left 22 dead and injured 24 more. Its internet security company Cloudflare dropped it as a client after facing backlash for helping enable the site after it was discovered that the shooter had posted the manifesto there. are almost there. Benjamin Barr, who represents Watkins, says the goal is within the next week or so to come back. The timing hinges on finding a replacement for Cloudflare, according to Barr. After the shooting, 8chan's moderators promptly removed the post with the shooter's manifesto, but it was the third massacre in recent months that the platform was tied to. The Christchurch, New Zealand, and Poway mosque shooters both posted manifestos on 8chan as well. All right, one of the things that is important is that the last shooter, he posted his information on Instagram. And I don't recall anywhere that Instagram has been taken down. Someone reposted it from Instagram to 8chan, but this was a targeted attack against 8chan because this is where there has been some very important information and investigations taking place in regards to what is taking place out there in the truths that are being covered along with this whole QAnon movement and you know, what have you. So they're just trying to stop it. That's all that they're trying to do. Here we have a joint statement from today, Representative Benny G. Thompson, Democrat from Missouri, Chairman of the Committee on Homeland Security, and Representative Mike Rogers from Alabama, ranking member of the committee, released the below statement after the committee deposed Jim Watkins, owner of the social media website 8chan. The deposition was in response to the committee subpoena of Watkins in August. We want to thank Mr. Watkins for his cooperation today. He provided vast and helpful information to the committee about the structure, operation, and policies of 8chan and his other companies. We look forward to his continued cooperation with the committee as he indicated his desire to do so during today's deposition. Okay, so hopefully this will get resolved in a short period of time. It seems as if it's on their way. Again, it's just efforts to silence those who are not speaking and saying the things that you like. That's the very definition of what fascism is. You have all of these liberals that are pointing their fingers, calling others fascist, while at the same time wanting to censor people, wanting to beat people up that don't think the same way or that they, you know, don't like their ideas if they're not the same, want to blacklist people, want to cause all kind of problems. Even to the point of wanting to kill people. So we have to really take a hard look in the mirror and see how we got here. One way we got here is because we have a machine that is brainwashing people, and we have a lot of weak-minded people in the world. These young people that are in college and coming out of college are some of the most weak-minded individuals I've ever seen, that are just being brainwashed and controlled left and right by a machine that doesn't care about them one iota. So we need to, on one hand, while we're not happy with the things that are being said and not happy that these people have been mind controlled in the way they have, but we also need to pray for them and be hopeful because they are our brothers and sisters, our sons and our daughters, our neighbors, our friends. We don't want to throw them away just because they're in a bad situation. We want to pray and we want to find a way for them to snap out of it. The only one I know who can do that is God, which is why prayer is so important. With that prayer is also the importance of putting on the armor of God that I talk about each and every day that is so, so important. We have energies, words, manipulations floating through the air each and every day. And if we don't find a way to block them the way that we would block a computer virus on our computer, then we find ourselves in a bad place. But if we're able to block those things, guess what? We find out that there's actually love and beauty and all kind of wonderful things in the world that we might be missing simply because we're being distracted by all the others. We can't allow ourselves to be distracted. We can't allow ourselves to get caught up in all that BS and the lies that are being told. We have to be truthful and honest and always stand by God, because God will not let us down. No matter what we may think, God has got our backs, and all we need to do is trust. So trust God, my friends, and watch the miracles in your life happen. That's it. I'll be back next week. Till then, have a great weekend. God bless. First Contact Radio, signing off. Talk to you soon. Peace.